You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Hello, everybody at Kingdom City. Hello to everybody right here in Perth, in Canningvale, and a big shout out to everyone in Malaysia that's joining us right now online. Cambodia, Botswana, Zambia, India, Mexico, Dubai, London, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, South Africa, and wherever else you're joining from, we hope you feel welcome. We're just going to take 1 minute to just pray, so would you join me as we pray? Father God, I just ask you that you would just breathe on this message over the next few moments, that we would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I come against confusion and distraction in Jesus' name, that we will be able to be focused, Lord, as we hear your word, God. I pray it will be a word that will realign, that will give hope, that will help us become the great men and women of God that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Please take your seats. You will see here, I've got this piece of rope that's going across the stage. And if you would use your imagination with me, I would ask that you would imagine that this rope goes all around this auditorium. And then maybe if you're watching online, it goes through your screen to one side and the other. And it keeps going that way and going that way. And it wraps around the world a few times and maybe around the universe a few times. And then on this big long rope, there is a tiny little speck right here. And if you could imagine that, that is what your life looks like in view of eternity. See, it's hard for us to imagine eternity because our brains have been programmed to have a beginning and an end. Yet we tend to live like we're around forever. We tend to put a lot of energy and things into the temporal rather than in eternity. I want to talk to you about living beyond your speck today. Living beyond your speck. In Psalm 39, verse 5, it says, "What a brief time you've given me to live. Compared to you, my lifetime is nothing at all. Nothing more than a puff of air. I'm gone so swiftly. So too are the grandest of men. They are nothing but a fleeting shadow." Pause in his presence. We live our lives like those living in shadows. All our activities and energies are spent for things that pass away. We gather, we hoard, we cling to our things, only to leave them all behind for who knows who. We are just a speck in eternity. When Adam and Eve sinned, time began. And we were all sucked into the vortex of time. And there have been people that have come before us and people that will come after us. But we are just a tiny little speck. And we spend so much energy, so much time, so much resources on this tiny little thing. And yet we should be thinking about what is to come. You know, they did a report in Australia in 2016 on what Australians spend on their tiny little speck corporately as a nation. We've spent $666 billion dollars on this tiny little speck in 2016. So everything that we spent, so we spent $65.8 billion on cars that year. We spent $80.3 billion on recreation, $20.4 billion on fashion, $14.9 billion on alcohol, and $1.6 billion on tea and coffee. So next time you tell me I'm drinking too much coffee, I'll remind you how much the nation spends on alcohol. Malaysia. In 2017, Malaysians spent 100 million ringgit on November 11, called Singles Day, for online shopping. That's a lot of money for a speck. We spent 2.45 billion ringgit on digital games. In fact, Malaysia is the highest country to spend money on digital games. $6.85 billion on the latest mobile phone and $13.2 billion on money overseas, which I don't think is happening at the moment, but that's what happens when everything goes back to normal. So we spend and we hoard all these things on stuff that may not even last a week, a year, a decade, or go beyond our lifetime. You know, I remember those shoes that I saved up for in high school, you know, saved up all my money to get these shoes. And it was like the biggest thing in my life back then. And now where are those shoes? They're probably in some tip, probably half dirt, disintegrating somewhere. Life is so temporary, yet we can spend so much energy on things that will pass away. Matthew 6:19 says, "Don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves." Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you esteem as your treasure. What is your heart pursuing today? What do you pursue with your energy, with your finances, with your time, with your emotions? Because that is what is your treasure. That, I dare say, may be your God. There is a man named James. He was a very wealthy man. He spent his life hoarding and gathering finances for himself to live a comfortable life, to get rich. That was his focus. And one day, he died. Now, he went to heaven, and he had a conversation with Jesus, and he was brought back to life. The medical team was able to bring him back to life, but when he was dead, he had this conversation with Jesus, and we're going to hear what Jesus asked him when he was with him in heaven.
I look to the right, and there's this incredible vista of beautiful flowers and meadows, and I turn my vision to the left, and that beautiful green grass went from green to brown to scorched to black and dropped off in a crevasse. I saw the most hideous creature you could ever imagine. And I fell back in abject terror, the look of hatred in its eyes for me and all of mankind. But at this point, I turned toward the light and I raised both hands this time. And I cried out, "God, help me, help me."
Then, Jim says, three angels came and took him through heaven.
And I realized I was looking at none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he looked at me with those violet eyes, and all I heard was, "James, what did you do with the life my master gave you?" I had no answer. But as I looked into his eyes and he smiled at me, he knew me. I saw such intense love and forgiveness for me who deserved nothing. And that was the moment I was his forever. Whatever was about to become of me, I was his. I loved him, and he loved me.
What did you do with the life my master gave you? That is the question every one of us will be asked when we go into eternity. What did you do with the gift, the life I gave you? They've done these studies called NDE, near-death experiences, since 1975, and they have studied hundreds and hundreds of people that have clinically died and then have come back to live. And they've interviewed them about their experiences of what happened while they were dead. And the study has shown that about 90% of these people all come back the same. They come back with this, with a different look on life. They stop pursuing money, ambition. They're more about the good of mankind. If they didn't believe in God, they believe in God now. And it's like they're super generous. They let go of offense. They've had a taste of what is in eternity. In fact, one doctor is quoted saying, "Most near-death survivors say they don't think there is a God. They know there is a God." These are witnesses who've gone to the other side and have come back to tell us what it is like. So what we do on the speck determines how we live in eternity. In 1 John 2:15, it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Particularly everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. If you do what God wants, you are set for eternity. Right now, if you know without a shadow of a doubt, yep, I'm doing what God wants, you'll be set for the rest of eternity. Everything we sow into, every investment, whether it's your prayer life, how much prayer do you invest into your life? Because guess what? For eternity, you're going to be with God. So if you don't talk much to Him now, it's not going to just suddenly change when you go into. How much time are you investing right now? Your prayer life with God, your worship, your time, your resources, everything you sow into this tiny little speck impacts the way you live in eternity. Rick Warren wrote this book called Purpose Driven Life, and he said, life is meant to be preparation for the next, the dress rehearsal before the real show begins. God wants us to practice here on earth what we will do in heaven forever. To love God, to love His family, to become like Christ, to serve the Lord, and to fulfill His mission. We're just in the dress rehearsal. I don't know what some of us are going to do in heaven because there's no Netflix. No secular songs. Everything you do right now determines how you live there and then. I love the greenhouse students because they understand. We have greenhouse students who are, I think, as young as 18 all the way up to those in their 80s. The ones in their 80s are closer to eternity than the ones in the 18, but discipleship never stops. They're still investing now into their eternity by going, okay, God, I want to get more Christ-like. I want to get whole. I want to get ready for You. Every year we should sit down and we should analyze our life and look and think, okay, what am I going to do this year that will invest into my spiritual life? You know, don't just try and do big jumps, because sometimes we try and go, okay, I'm going to do this. And then we fail. We do too many things. I'm going to get up and pray for 3 hours a day. And you just know that's not going to happen because you can't even pray 5 minutes a day. Do things in baby steps. If you don't go to church every week, start coming to church every week. Try it. Join a connect group. Get involved. If you just come and go as you please, why don't you just join a connect group? Do something for your spiritual life. Invest into now for later. If you're in a connect group or you're serving, join Greenhouse next year. Make arrangements now for doing Greenhouse next year. I'm doing Greenhouse. I've had people go, why are you doing Greenhouse? Because I need wholeness. There's stuff I want to be a better person, not just for the now, but also because I want to become more Christ-like. I'm running after God. Every year I look at myself and go, okay, God, what can I do this year to make myself better for You? Hungering after God. Because one day we will face God and we're either going to be with Him in eternity, or we're going to be without Him, and that is hell. And hell is a very real place, because these near-death experiences, these people that they've had, they've gone to heaven and they've gone to hell. So we're going to watch this next guy who went to hell. We're going to find out what he discovered in hell.
We were walking on a pathway that goes down into the earth. As we were walking, I'm holding Jesus' hand, just like a little child holding daddy's hand. I could see demons, and I could see them reaching out, grabbing for me. They come this close, But they couldn't grab me because I was with Jesus, was the light. We come to a ledge where I could actually see the ledge. There's a lake of fire down below. I saw people there in pit after pit, unbearable loneliness. There's no hope. When I was walking with Jesus, we come up to this certain pit. It was empty. And my mind is thinking, wow, an empty pit. Wonder how that happened. I haven't seen one before. But there was one there that was empty. And Jesus knew what I was thinking.
No, please, I don't want to go to hell.
And I started to scream and yell and repent. Before I could ask the question, he told me, this is the pit Satan himself has dug for you.
No!
Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you. You know, the enemy also goes to prepare a pit for you, for your family, for your friends, for the people you work with. He prepares as well. I was so struck by that when I saw that, and I thought, that is so true. He makes preparations too, just like God does, for the afterlife. But God so loved the speck. God so loved the speck. God, the God of the creation of universe, he so loved us that he decided to come down and be a speck for our speck, to pay the price so that we could be with him for eternity. John 3:16, a famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his life for you. You didn't have to pay the price. He paid it for you. And it's so important that we do everything we can to tell our friends, our family, our neighbors about Christ. It is our responsibility because he did it for us. We want to take as many people as we can to heaven. We can't take that house that you've spent a lot of money on, that car. But you can take people. And Billy Graham said, my home is heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. He was a man that really lived that. The greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. Seen millions and millions of people saved. Thank God that he took the call, that he raised his hand and said, yes, I will live my whole life to tell the gospel. We don't have to be Billy Graham and tell the whole world, but we can tell our neighbors, our friends, our bosses. We can invite people. We can invite people to connect groups that don't know the Lord. I dare you. People are getting saved in our connect groups before they even walk into the church. We can do that. We can say, Holy Spirit, every week we put Be Our Guest cards in Cannonville, in our services, on our seats, and we have Be Our Guest online digital invites for you to take and to invite somebody to church or to connect group or to wherever so that they too can hear. Because you never know the seeds that you sow, what it will do to them when they need Jesus. One day they may face eternity and they will remember what you said. They might have gone, whatever, when you told them about Jesus. They're like, weirdo, you know, or your family might think you're crazy now. But I'll tell you, when they're about to hit eternity, everything you sowed into them will come back to their mind. The next story we're going to watch is about a guy who was a drug dealer. And somebody in his life told him about Jesus. Somewhere down the road, somebody planted seeds in his heart about calling on the name of Jesus, explained Jesus to him so that when he was at death's door, he knew what to do. Let's watch his story now.
There to begin with, in the process of me doing that, I was shot twice in a drug deal gone wrong. I bled out. And last thing I remember was laying on that gurney as they were wheeling me into the trauma room. I was seeing the lights go by over my head one by one, shoot, 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 until they all but stopped. And I went black. And there was nothing. And I called on the only thing that I knew to call on, which was the name of Jesus. I felt like, you know, when you're asleep and somebody grabs you in your sleep and you kind of get shaken awake. But I felt that when I was in that cold place. And when that hand grabbed me, I felt the presence the majesty, the fire, the life, the glory, the power of Jesus Christ himself. But when I came up off that hospital bed, I'd been dead for 2 minutes and 17 seconds after the doctors quit trying. The doctor was already writing a time of death on my paperwork. The nurse was rolling the sheet over my feet, and it scared her half to death. You know, she thought I was gone already. And she let out a scream, and I'm looking around for this arm, this hand that grabbed me. And it was nowhere to be seen. Nowhere there. The ER trauma doctor that been working there for 30 years said he'd never seen anything like that. There's no scientific or medical explanation on how I was brought back to life that way. And he risked his medical practice to tell me, leaning in, that was God.
That was God. I love that. That was God. So today I just want to end on this question. What are you doing with the speck God gave you? Mark 8:34 says, if you truly want to follow me, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, you should at once completely disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. For what you use is to gain all the, for what use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? Wow, that's so strong, Pastor Jim. That's Jesus, not me. That's his words, and that's not just to his disciples. That was to all of us. Anyone that calls Jesus their God, their Lord, their Savior, that's to us. What are you doing with the speck that Jesus gave you? The last clip I want to show you is of a teenage girl. She was at a party, and she saw a group of people just crowding around something in the kitchen. So she walked in and suddenly realized it was her body on the ground, and she was dead. Someone had slipped her some drugs, and she had drank it accidentally, and it had killed her. She started screaming and yelling, but no one could hear her because obviously she was in that spiritual realm by then. She goes up to heaven, and they were able to bring her back to life, and she tells us what the conversation she had with Jesus. It's in teenage language. I love this. It's probably my favorite clip, so let's watch this now.
Going up, it feels like so good, like so amazing. And you know, oh wow, and I'm looking at like the black go down behind me, like all the black from the galaxy, and I like seriously just like look behind me, and I'm completely covered in light, and I look behind me, and the whole galaxy and universe is like a speck. It's like the size of like an ant, like this big, and I'm out of the whole galaxy. You know, I'm up in heaven, all light, and it's like this big, and all of a sudden it's like pew, it just like disappears, and then I'm completely submerged in light. I can't even see the galaxy anymore. So at that point I turn around and I look forward, right, and I'm literally in heaven with this light, and boom, there is my life, flashes before my eyes. It was like MacBook Pro when you like, it was almost like that, like there's all those like all these photos, and if you hold the button it will just like show you all the photos kind of. So it was like that. It was like they're all just popping out at me, and it was kind of like all these images and all these things that I'd done, like from when I was born till that moment. Also, God showed me that because of my choices, my life got shortened. Okay. I was greedy, I was selfish, I cared about myself, I cared about my clothes, my makeup, my friends, my, you know, my looks, my everything stupid, like what kind of car I drove, like all these things, like what, like I just wanted money and I wanted myself, and I wanted, like, me. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I cared about. So when I died, it was highly embarrassing. It was like God said, what imprint did you do? Like, what did you do on earth for people? What did you do on earth for humanity? What did you do for the world? Like, what print did I leave? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not talking about holding a door open for someone. I'm not talking about, you know, buying somebody lunch one day. I'm talking about making a print in the earth. I'm talking about doing something. I did nothing except for myself.
What imprint are we leaving on this earth? And not just good works, but what are we doing to work on our own life to become more Christ-like? What practical things can we change in our life today that will help us sow into eternity for later? You know, maybe you have children, you're like, well, I'm so busy at the moment, you know, running around doing the kids, it's just a season in my life. Well, we spend a lot of money on tuition, a lot of time driving them to lessons and sports and here and there. Let's face it, how many of them end up becoming NBA stars? I don't know. I keep telling my son, really? You're going to be NBA? Like, we do all this stuff to be a good parent. Tuition, you must go to uni, you got to do this, then you got to get a good job and all this, which is okay, but how much of God are you investing into your children as well? Because every time you expose them to God, you're putting seeds of eternity back into them. If they don't go to a Christian school, it is your responsibility, parents, to teach your children about God in science, God in creation, God in biology, God in chemistry. We have a generation that is growing up that actually doesn't understand how big our God is, that has no idea that God was in creation, that God was in science. They're getting taught by teachers that don't believe in God, teaching them things about gender that is not God's ways, teaching them things about sex that we do not believe in with our God. And it's your responsibility to teach them. Don't leave it up to us. Kids church can't cover that. Youth, we can't cover that. We only get them 90 minutes, 2 hours max a week. It's your responsibility to teach them the ways of God, to invest, to pour into them. Before you watch that movie, do something, read with them or watch something, Bible, do whatever you can to constantly invest in. We have a rule in our house. How many minutes you play Xbox is how many minutes you read the Bible or you read a revivalist book. Believe me, the Xbox game has gone right down. They played 2 hours the other day and I'm like, well, it's 2 hours. And they're like, what? But I'm trying to show them how much they're pouring into the natural. Every time they watch these little YouTube clips, they have to watch the Bible projects. Only 5 minutes, 7 minutes, they have to watch that. We're going through the Bible like this. By the end of them leaving the house, they will have memorized everything to do with the Bible. I'm committed to keep pouring into my kids the eternity. I'm like throwing seeds on them because one day when they grow up and the world is presented to them, it's those seeds that they were sown into when they were young that will stay with them. Susanna Wesley never preached on a big stage, but she has impacted millions and millions of people. For she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who started the Methodist movement. And she had about 20 kids, which just makes her a hero to me. That's two Connect groups combined. And she would sit with them one-on-one every week and teach them the word. And John Wesley is quoted as saying, I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. We have such a responsibility to invest into our children eternity, invest into them God. We took our kids to the cemetery about 6 months ago. Okay, we're a little bit extreme, all right? But I suggest if you're having trouble with your kids, take them. Show them the tombstones. We walked around. We talked about people that had died. We talked about the family that were all buried together and the children that were buried there. We talked about how life was so short. And we made a decision that day as a family that we would spend the rest of our life telling people about Jesus. We explain the sacrifices that we make as a family for the gospel. That whatever our kids decide to do, whether famous rap artist or movie star, as Caleb tells me, even if they do any of that, they still will live their life telling everyone they know about Jesus, because that is our responsibility. Randy Alcorn, he said, he wrote a book on heaven, and he said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. If we would be a company of people that would decide in our city that we're going to live with eternity in our mind, we could change a city. If we stop staring at the temporary and the natural, if we stop fighting in those relationships, holding on to offense, trying to control people, let go, holding on to those hidden sins, let it go. Your life is so short. Sacrifice for those 60, 70, 80 years and pour your life into doing what matters for eternity. You would see, you would, words, the enemy is constantly trying to just pull our heads down, and we need to force our heads, lift up my eyes. The Bible says, lift up my eyes. Pray that prayer every day. God, lift up my eyes that I don't see. I constantly pray over our family that we would see what God sees, that we would hear what God speaks, that we would think the way God thinks. Every day it's a prayer that I pray over our family so that we don't get sucked into this temporary mindset that the enemy is constantly trying to pull us into. My boys and I, we watched Prince Philip's funeral, and I was a bit emotional. And my son was like, why are you emotional? Did you know him? And I said, well, you gotta understand, he was always there. From the moment I was born, he was alive and he was always around as Prince Philip and the Queen. Like, it's an era finished. It's a way of life done. And he lived to almost 100. He lived a very long life. But it's gone. Even the wealthiest, the grandest of men die. What you do here determines how you live in eternity. Would you stand if you are here in Perth, and if you're online and you're joining and you're able to stand, we'd love for you to stand as well. We're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us anything that is in our way, that is sucking up our focus, our distraction from things in eternity, or affecting how we live in eternity. That we just need to focus our eyes back on Jesus. From the left to the right, looking around, we just need to stop looking at those petty things and just keep our eyes on Jesus. Once you put your gaze on him, all those other things begin to fade. Why don't you just turn your eyes upon Jesus?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.